for Hotel Mars with David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. We are thrilled to be speaking to two guides to the formation of the moon and evidence of the collision that happened very early in the solar system. The article is in Nature magazine, Moon Forming Impactor as a Source of Earth's Basal Mantle Anomalies. David, you have a question for either the professor or the postdoc.
Yes, for either one. So it's speculated that Theia smashes into Earth, proto-Earth. So my question would be, what percentage do you think of Theia is a remnant in Earth, and what percentage of Theia composes the moon, and does that account for 100% of Theia? And if not, where did the rest of Theia go?
Chen, you want to start?
Okay, yeah. So according to our calculation, 10% of impactor's mantle may form this basal mantle anomalies. And for the moon, in our model, about 50% of the moon also come from the impactor. So the rest of the impactor mix with the Earth.
Professor, about these percentages, are they profound? Because you provide a video in your article that shows us what it would have looked like at the collision. Are these numbers all consistent with that video? 50% is of the moon is Earth, 50% is Theia?
Yeah, these are from, I have to give credit to Chen, because in the review process of the paper, he brought on expertise of these planetary collision experts who are writing computer programs, running them on supercomputers. So as my work as a seismologist, I image the planetary interior, the present day. So my expertise is on the blobs that are left over right now that we've been scratching our head. What are these things? And so Chen really carries the expertise about these percentages. It seems plausible to me, but I have learned through my career that I defer to those experts who are actually doing the numerical calculations, because intuition on things like that, when there are these very complex high energy collisions, that intuition is, almost irrelevant. You have to defer to the calculations. And so what Chen has cited is what those experts have brought to the table.
I see. That's all fresh information. Well, let's go to the remnant inside. You're the seismologist, Professor. What anomalies? What is that?
Two or three decades ago, seismologists started to learn that the seismometers, which are basically very sensitive microphones around the planet, usually just on land, now they're starting to get into the oceans, recording the vibrations from earthquakes, can be used much like medical technology uses x-rays to image the body, or sound waves and ultrasound to, say, look inside and see the baby. So MRIs, CAT scans, that kind of technology could be used by seismology. And maybe 20 or 30 years ago, slightly more, they started seeing these two regions deep in the Earth's mantle, halfway to the center, where the seismic wave speeds were very slow. And that sluggish propagation of seismic energy from earthquakes was attributed to the Earth being warmer. So like in convective flowing of the mantle over millions and millions of years, the mantle rock, which is solid, actually has its ups and downs. And so that was a hypothesis. Fast forward 20-ish years to a decade or so ago, seismologists, and this my work comes in, started to image that those slower regions where the speeds of waves are sluggish are compositionally distinct. In other words, different stuff, where we started seeing waves that echo off these regions and waves that, when they refract around those regions, act as if like this is distinct material. It's not just warm, it's different. So many research groups around the planet now have been sharpening the focus on these, I like to call them blobs. We call them large, low shear velocity provinces, or LLSVPs, but they're basically blobs. They're continental in size. They're hundreds of miles tall. They're the biggest things on this planet that we live that we actually have not had a clue as to what they are until Chen's work and the group of experts he brought together, that Theia remnants, pieces of this planet that hit us, being down there, these extraterrestrial structures, is really the best hypothesis we have.
Chen, when did you see this?
Yeah, in the paper, in the acknowledgement also said, both I have this idea, and also Ed also mentioned this to a journalist, but we're having this idea at a different time, at a different location. I can speak my idea, I get from a class. When the professor asks the people the question, where is the impactor now? Where is the moon form impactor? So because to his knowledge, nobody found it. So then suddenly I have this question, I have this feeling, oh, the impactor may be trapped in the Earth.
Then because you were looking for the impactor, you looked inside the planet. Is that it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I understand. David, you have a question for either.
Yes, Professor, I'm familiar with seismic logs in oil and gas drilling. You have a log and you can actually use tools to go down and check it out, bring up core samples, take photos. Is this too deep in the mantle? Do we have any tools where we can take samples, drill maybe that to where it is? I know it'd be around 1,800 miles. Or is everything a theory?
Yes, no, yes, yes. It's too deep. The pressures and temperatures are so great that you are absolutely lucky, even if you can get five of those 2,000 miles or 1,800 miles. Your drill hole has to be constantly drilled even to keep things as a hole that deep. And the deepest hole ever drilled in Russia was maybe 9-ish miles. So we can't drill. To answer your question, yes, it's just a hypothesis and a theory as to what's down there. I mean, the imaging is robust that we see these shapes and we know that they're different. What they are, that's when we get into the hypothesis domain. Now, but one very interesting thing is some of that material in a convecting mantle over millions of years does get entrained and it comes up to the surface and is erupted through certain kinds of volcanoes. And so little whiffs of the chemistry of structures that are deep in the mantle do come out in some of these volcanic eruptions. So a whole field of science called geochemistry. My hope is that, and this is part of my infinite money, what I do is to engage a team of geochemists to not only study moon rocks the Apollo astronauts brought back, but in future missions, to go to special places on the moon to study those rocks and to study the rocks on Earth that have erupted from deep to see, do we see sniffs of Theia on both planetary objects?
That's the professor's unlimited budget. What's yours, Chen?
Similar. Either get the lunar, the mantle of the moon's rocks or from, yeah, I think get the mantle of the moon's rock will be very important because in every giant impact model, at least 50% of the moon is made of impactor. So we found the signature of the Earth on the moon, but we haven't found a real signature on the moon.
Well, Chen, so, I'm going to put you in a spacesuit and put you on Starship and send you to the moon. How about that? Is that part of your budget?
But it's easier to get a surface rock, but I'm not sure where is the region you can get the deeper rock of the moon. But there is a mission proposing in the south pole around the moon. There is a crater, so it may expose some lunar mantle rock already. So I guess that's a future direction.
Chen Yuan and Professor Edward Garnero, Arizona State University professor, Arizona State University PhD, now a postdoc at Caltech, David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.